Be honest, Katie, fresh back from the road trip. Would you rather have the Flutagina drop or the Dirk Nowitzki drop?
Flutagina.
I mean, come on. That's very funny.
Katie.
That's Katie in studio. Nate across from me. It's Dave, Katie, and Nate. We make up the drive. Matt George in the other room. And Mike Florio joining us in about 3 minutes. A special Friday edition for him going into a big, big weekend of football. 339-1140 is your phone number. Text us, please, would you, at 44-1140. It's 802. Time to go to RC Country Hobbies on Folsom Boulevard. It's not just toys for big boys. It's for everyone in the entire family. Two things before we get to Mike Florio. I want to play this Greg Popovich clip from last night. But first and foremost, Katie, I know you have a game tonight. You were just telling me how busy you were. Anything I can bribe you with to get you to come over to my house and put together this desk that I have?
No.
No, okay. I'm just saying. Food?
Oh, nothing.
Cheeseburgers.
Nothing.
Ah. All right. The San Antonio Spurs were trying to tie the Golden State Warriors record, entering the game at 13-0 on the road this year, trying to tie Golden State's record they set last year at 14-0 to start a season. That did not happen. The Spurs fell short 95-91 to the Bulls. It's a 4-point loss on the road. We'd be talking about moral victories here.
I've got some numbers for you, though.
In the center of that game.
Yeah.
I've got some numbers for you, though.
Please do.
Halftime field goal percentage for the Kings.
The Kings?
Yeah.
The Kings.
Wait. Did I say something wrong?
Well, wait.
Why are we talking about the Kings?
We're talking about the Spurs.
Oh, sorry. I thought you just said the Kings.
No.
The Knicks.
Wait, did I? Oh. No, the Spurs and the Bulls.
Oh, that shows I was not listening to you. Holy cow.
Somebody's on East Coast time.
Dang.
Hey, story of my life. Women in my life. Listen to me. No,
I mean,
they don't.
I try in general to listen to about every fourth word and piece them together because the other three words just take too much of my time.
Okay, well, I got two words for you when we get off the air. Here's Greg Popovich. I believe the Spurs were held to, I want to say, 32 points in the first half. It was 30. Yeah. So it was something horrible. Pop, not happy at all with their effort, and he let them know through the media.
I don't remember playing tonight. I didn't play. Guys get a lot of money to be ready to play. No Newt Rockne speeches. It's your job. If you're a plumber and you don't do your job, you don't get any work. I don't think the plumber needs a pep talk. If the doctor botches operations, he's not a doctor anymore. If you're a basketball player, you come ready. It's called maturity. It's your job.
Ooh.
I
want to see the doctor pep talk guy, though.
I want Greg.
Can you do one for me right now?
I'm not even sure how that would work. Like, you don't even care that the guy's got a twitch. You're just like, you get back out there. You get right back on that horse. Show that artery who's boss or whatever.
I love Dave Yeager. None of what I'm about to say is disrespect to him whatsoever. I think he's a fantastic coach, but I just love Greg Popovich so much.
There's like one dude that can get away with doing what he just did,
right?
And that's him.
If it's anybody else, it's like, well, he's saying things through. Like, look at Phil Jackson, for example. The guy's got 9 rings, and Carmelo Anthony's basically calling him out on Instagram for saying he's a ball holder.
Yeah, not a lot of Pop is kind of like a very old school guy. Not a lot of coaches in any sport have the.
It's Belichick and Popovich.
Not a lot of coaches in any sports are ever going to truly throw their players under the bus. Pop
Coach
throws
K.
them under the bus. He backs over them. He goes forward. He checks to see if they're still twitching. If they are, he backs over them again. He does not care. But he has that locker. I mean, that's another thing with stability. And he's built that team. He's been there forever. He has a ton of respect.
We'll get back to that momentarily because Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk waiting to talk a little football as we welcome him in for a special Friday edition because it's such a big weekend. Mike Florio, how are you?
Good. How you guys doing?
Fantastic.
Well, we're in Raider land, and one thing I've been trying to push all day, if I'm a Raider fan, I'll take the offense and Marquette King and special teams not having a great night. The defense was the question. I thought the defense did fantastic last night.
Yeah, I thought the defense was good, and it helped keep the team in it. But the problem is, ultimately, the Raiders had opportunities that they weren't able to capitalize on. Derek Carr was as bad as we've ever seen him. And it's always going to be difficult to win when you're 17 of 41 for 117 yards. That's 2.85 yards per attempt. Considering it was only an 8-point game, in light of that performance from Derek Carr, I guess at some level, Raiders fans should be ecstatic.
Do you think, and that's something we've been batting around, do you think Derek Carr, was it the pinky last night, or is that an excuse?
I don't know. Yeah. He's playing, and if a guy is playing, the presumption is the guy is good enough to play. And we've had so much talk lately from Jeff Fisher saying, I don't make excuses, but here's my excuse. Look, everybody's got something wrong with him this time of year. And if Derek Carr's out there playing, then it's presumed he's healthy enough to play. And I, you know, is it a factor? I don't know. But the bottom line is, if it was a factor, it was a huge factor because he was not good last night.
Well, Mike, one of the things that was most concerning about this Raiders team early in the season was their defense going to be able to stop people? But it seems like they've continued to make progress. And last night, I thought they did a phenomenal job. They did exactly what they were supposed to do. They just could not score enough points to help that defense out.
Yeah, and you just wonder how much of what we saw last night is a product of short week football. Mm-hmm. And maybe when teams only have a few days to get ready, the benefit flows toward the defense, and it's easier for defenses to stop offensives that don't have a full week to come up with ways to capitalize on whatever openings are there. I mean, the Chiefs offense is not a great one, but it is encouraging to see the Raiders defense perform at a higher level than what we're used to. And again, to lose only by 8 points when Derek Carr was as bad as he was, that's good, but would have been better to win the game.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, with us on KHDK. Mike, for the last couple of weeks, we've talked at length about why people don't really believe in the Chiefs in spite of their record and their successes. And we know it's the same story, seen this before with Alex Smith and Andy Reid. But after last night, do you think that was the type of game that could get people to flip on them?
No, that narrative is so locked in that Alex Smith isn't any good and that Andy Reid can't win the big game and the Chiefs are going to find a way to choke in the clutch. And this is great for the Chiefs. Because Andy Reid doesn't have to worry about his players becoming complacent because they're not being praised by anyone outside of their own market. And he also doesn't have to worry about finding ways to motivate them to have a chip on their shoulder because no one is giving them the respect that they deserve. They've now won 20 out of 23 games. Think about that. 20-3 in their last 23 regular season games. The Browns, meanwhile, are 1-22 in their last 23 regular season games, with the only win coming against the 49ers.
Oh.
But the Chiefs have been the best regular season team for the last season and a half. And this sense that they'll find a way to not win in the playoffs, I think, can be used to their advantage.
ProFootballTalk.com right there on the front page. The Raiders seemingly confident. They'll have another shot at this Chiefs team. That's interesting. Third time's a charm, maybe.
Well, and we hear all the time, oh, it's difficult to beat a team three times in the same year. And I think there is a psychological impact that goes into it. And also, when you've swept a team and you're facing them in a winner-take-all, single-elimination setting, maybe there is a sense that it's going to be harder to deliver that knockout punch. But, I don't think the Raiders should worry about who they're going to play in the postseason. They just need to finish strong, and they need to try to get back to the top of the division. And all they can do at this point is win the last three games and hope the Chiefs stumble at least once to put the Raiders back at least at the number two seed. The number one seed's going to be harder to get to, but look, they just have to pick up one game on the Chiefs and one game on the Patriots, and they will be the number one seed.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, joining us this morning. I want to transition to some of the games coming up this weekend. I think it's a big weekend for the NFL, a lot of games that mean a lot. I'm a Packers fan. I'm the only one here. Everyone else is a Northern California team fan. But they have not been good this year. They face Seattle. In my opinion, for the Packers to be able to make the playoffs, they've got to win out. Am I correct in that assumption?
Well, they don't have to win out. They just have to pick up one game on the Lions over the next three, and then it turns the NFC North championship game into a Week 17 affair when the Packers go back to Detroit. Mm-hmm. So the Packers could lose to Seattle this weekend as long as the Lions then lose to the Giants and the Cowboys. But what we saw from the Lions on Sunday in New Orleans was very impressive, and I think the Lions are keenly aware that even though they have a two-game lead over the Packers, they don't have much margin for error to avoid turning Week 17 into a de facto playoff mm-hmm. game. So, yeah, the Packers can stumble, but then they're going to have to root very aggressively for the Giants and the Cowboys in back-to-back weeks to take care of the Lions. And, maybe they can, maybe they will, but that the Packers still can avoid or can afford to have that one loss. But the way the Lions have been playing, I think that the Packers are playing with fire if they don't take care of the Seahawks on mm-hmm. Sunday.
Mike, you got a huge divisional matchup this weekend between the Colts and the Texans, and we were talking earlier about whether or not the winner of that game wins the division, but you got the Titans right there that obviously aren't part of this game, but how legitimate of a shot do they have at winning that division?
Well, the problem is they're 6-6 overall, but they're 0-3 against the Colts and the Texans, and to get swept by the Colts, not a good development for a Titans team that is trying to get to the postseason. At least they're relevant again, and you've got those three teams each at 6-6. And that's encouraging for Tennessee, but they're going to need to get some separation because the tiebreakers don't currently favor them. And, you know, there's a sense that whoever comes out of that division is just going to be cannon fodder in the wild card round for the number five seed, whether it's the Chiefs or the Raiders. But I think the Titans would be the most dangerous team to win if they win that division, the most dangerous team in the playoffs, because they have the fewest glaring flaws and they could be the best team built to survive and advance in the playoffs when it's all about defense and running game.
Mike Florio joining us, Pro Football Talk. Obviously, the game of the weekend, Niners host the Jets. here's the story I'm following in that game. It's the only one I care about. Is Colin Kaepernick, is it very possible that Colin Kaepernick is playing tonight against the team he's going to start for next season?
I don't know. Look, there's a lot of factors that go into what happens with Kaepernick next year. The threshold question: will the 49ers make an aggressive play to keep him, assuming he voids his contract for 2017? And that's a no-brainer because his contract's not guaranteed for next year. He's not giving up anything by saying to the 49ers, I'm voiding this contract. What he's saying is, we'll negotiate my next contract at a time when I have strength, I have leverage. And they'll have an opportunity where they'll enjoy exclusive negotiating rights with Kaepernick, but who's going to be making the decision? Who's going to be the GM? Who's going to be the head coach? I don't think at this point we can assume that anyone will be back. 11 straight losses, 1-11 on the season. If there are four ugly outcomes between now and week 17, I think it makes it more likely there's serious change. So the first question is, will the power structure want, first, who will it be? Then will whoever it is want Colin Kaepernick? And then, if he is in a position where he negotiates on the open market, will there be teams that shy away from him because of the national anthem?
Yeah.
Stuff. And let me tell you, the Jets, I think, would be one of the teams that would shy away from him because of it, because Woody Johnson, the owner of the team, is very sensitive to the importance of getting people to show up, buy tickets, engage in following the team, and the national anthem protest rubs a lot of people the wrong way. And when there are other quarterbacks available, and there will be plenty of them available this year in free agency and trade, etc., that's going to hurt Colin Kaepernick because owners are not going to want an employee who is going to make it harder to sell tickets and get people to watch games and get people to buy jerseys and get people to be excited about the team.
You know, Mike, if it's kind of impossible to predict anything that the Niners would try to do, but it seems like the more likely scenario here is that maybe Trent Baalke's gone, but Chip Kelly hangs around. If that's the case and you bring in another GM, does that just make Chip Kelly a lame duck next year?
Well, that's the problem. Every GM wants his own coach. Every coach wants his own quarterback. And so you have this trickle down and you get guys on different agendas and with different degrees of accountability. And it's always best if everyone has the same accountability. Then you avoid infighting. You know, there's no benefit for Trent Baalke a couple of years ago to undermine Jim Harbaugh because either both stay or both go. And that's the right attitude in any NFL organization. Coach, GM, we either succeed together or we fail together. There's no middle ground. And so the question becomes, what do they do? Do they hire a GM who may take it upon himself to begin to undermine Chip Kelly and lay the foundation to get rid of Chip Kelly? Or do they just promote Tom Gamble to GM and let Kelly be the guy who shops for the groceries and cooks the meal and he gets to implement his vision? I don't know that the 49ers are willing to do that, though. If they're going to do that, they need to take a very careful look at what Kelly did in 2015, the only year that he had final say in Philadelphia, and what he did with that roster and what they're doing now to undo the damage a year later. So it's not going to be an easy solution for the 49ers if they decide on a half measure. And it could be that the best approach is to just press the reset button and go out and hire a new coach, hire a new GM, figure out whether you want a strong GM, strong head coach, but start from scratch. And, you know, I know they don't want to have a buyout to Jim Tom Sula and a buyout to Chip Kelly, and then you got to pay somebody to coach. But if your fan base is disengaging, you know, those traffic problems that Jim Nantz mentioned several weeks ago when the 49ers were hosting the Cardinals on a Thursday night. Mm-hmm. I've learned that the traffic problems only affect the 49ers fans. When the Patriots played out there, the Patriots fans know how to navigate the traffic and show up for the game.
Mike, you say that every coach obviously wants their own QB, but you also say that there's plenty of quarterbacks that are available during this offseason. If Chip Kelly had his choice, who would it be?
Well, I don't know, because Chip Kelly always keeps his cards close to the vest. You never know what he truly thinks about his quarterback. I mean, I'm sure if he had his choice, it would be Marcus Mariota, but he's not going to get Marcus Mariota. You want somebody who can run that offense the way it's designed, who can throw the ball down the field with accuracy, who can run the ball when necessary, who is durable enough to take the pounding. There aren't many guys like that available. And, you know, even when he had Nick Foles, he was ambivalent about him after a 7-touchdown, 0-interception performance against the Raiders. Kelly just doesn't seem to have that one guy that he has to have. And it could be that Colin Kaepernick is the guy he tries to build that offense with and have some continuity and get some carryover from 2016 into 2017. But, you know, it depends on whether or not, number one, he's still there. Number two, if he is, how much power he has over who the quarterback is going to be.
Mike, last thing for you, back to Pro Football Talk. Poll, I think it was yesterday that I saw, had Derek Carr winning the MVP. Did he effectively lose that race last night?
Well, yeah, at this time of year, it's a combination of a process of confirmation and a process of elimination. And you can have a bad game and you can fall out of the running. And now the door's open for Tom Brady, Dak Prescott, Jameis Winston, as crazy as that may have sounded a couple of weeks ago, Matt Ryan, depending upon what the Falcons do. You know, you can't begin to really know who is going to emerge as the favorite until the hay's in the barn. We still got 25% of the season for every team except the Chiefs and the Raiders. That's a lot of the season that still needs to be played. And once we know who's in the playoffs, how they're positioned, then I think the answers become a little more obvious. And the question becomes, if it's down to Brady and Prescott, would the voters give it to a rookie? Yeah. And how much would any potential votes for Ezekiel Elliott undermine votes for Dak Prescott? I think they're going to split votes when it comes to MVP and when it comes to the Offensive Rookie of the Year.
I don't know if it made you feel as old as I did there, Mike, but I know you saw the second best college football major ever behind Major Harris of West Virginia. Major Applewhite is now the coach at Houston. Did you read that and think I'm old? Because that's how I took it this morning.
Everything that I see makes me think I'm old. So, yes.
But I'll bet you agree with me that Major Harris is the greatest major in college football history.
Major Harris is the greatest major in college football history. And my favorite Major Harris story is that when he went to the scouting combine in Indianapolis, he showed up to run the 40-yard dash in blue jeans and a dress shirt.
Fantastic.
And probably ran a 4.4 too.
He was a 12th-round pick of the Raiders. He was truly ahead of his time.
Could you
imagine Major Harris in today's NFL? It's a shame.
He was. If you had a chance to see him, he was absolutely amazing. He honestly was. Mike, appreciate the time. You'll be down at the Super Bowl, right? We'll look forward to seeing you down in Houston here in a couple weeks.
I guess you guys go no matter whether or not the Raiders go.
Yeah, you know, either way.
Some only go. Some will only go if their team goes. So I just didn't know whether you're being presumptuous or whether it's already in the budget.
We'll be down there no matter what. It'll be a third straight year down there. I know you always have your setup down there. We always spy you doing your thing. We're going to try to steal you at some point when we get down there.
All right, good deal.
All right, take care, Mike. Right, thank you. All right, that's Mike Florio. Did you know this about Mike Florio? Mike Florio graduated from Carnegie Mellon with two engineering degrees. He got his law license. Mm-hmm. And before he started ProFootballTalk.com on the side, he practiced law for 18 years.
Wow. Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. And I got to be honest, I did not know. I knew he was a lawyer. I knew he had a law background. I didn't know he had two. I mean, what do you, two? One engineering
degree. Two engineering degrees
for. Isn't that kind of presumptuous? Like,
save one for someone else.
Thank you.
Talent hog.
There's not a limit on the number of degrees given out in Goodyear.
Sure. I guess so.
Where did you go to college?
He went to Carnegie Mellon and then switched over to West Virginia for his law degree.
That sounds like something you would get at an Italian restaurant on the appetizer menu.
Carnegie Mellon?
Yeah.
With prosciutto?
Wrapped in prosciutto with some burrata.
A little intimidated talking to him now. I almost wish I hadn't read that. Seriously, freaking Doogie Florio MD over there. coming on and starting this thing out of his garage or whatever. Golly, that's a smart cookie.
An enterprising
makes you feel
gentleman.
Like a loser, doesn't it?
Yes. It's always about what makes me feel old, what makes me feel
Everybody can do a podcast in their garage, the but can point. They get two degrees? What, engineering, you said?
Yeah, mm-hmm. two engineering mm-hmm. degrees.
You can't even put together a desk by yourself.
Wow. No, I'm lucky I get 98.6 degrees.
Jeez.
Hey, some random Raider stuff for you that we picked up last night. Here's Marcus Allen, his opinion on whether or not Tom Flores, who you can hear yelling and screaming and being excited with Greg Pop on the broadcast, whether or not he should be in the Hall of Fame.
I get so disappointed by the criteria. He should have been at least on two levels, one as a coach with two Super Bowl wins, and then even as a contributor, when you think about the first Mexican-American to play quarterback, one of the first, and then the first head coach, then the first general manager, and then first president, I mean, those are groundbreaking accomplishments. And I don't understand why. It's getting more and more frustration to see people, I think, especially if you either coached in the past or played in the past, get overlooked for, a little more hype today. Who hasn't won two Super Bowls and not in the Hall of Fame?
All right, so now here's Tom Flores on not being.
Hold on, is George Seifert in the Hall of Fame?
No, I don't think he is.
So there's your answer.
No, here's Tom Flores on not being in the Hall of Fame.
Well, it's frustrating. I have to admit that it's disappointing not to be in there with some of my peers, some of the guys I coached and played with, and it's. But I can't. I'm not in control. That's out of my control and. I try to control my emotional part, and my friends do too, and my family. So maybe someday soon it will happen. I thought this year I had a chance, but nope, I didn't. There are other coaches in there that I guess somebody feels should be ahead.
He says, nope. Guess I didn't.
Move on.
I'm all right with participation trophies in the Hall of Fame.
Just getting them in?
Well, I mean, some guys, like,
pop
dude,
them in.
I just don't even like debating it. I mean, how could we legitimately sit here and weigh a guy like, I mean, you could look at Tom Flores, but you could also look at, say, quarterbacks of that generation, and how could you even compare them to some of the stuff that goes on now? Like, it's almost a debate that I'm not qualified to take part in. I wasn't around when Tom Flores coached, but he does have mm-hmm. two Super Bowls, and he did have one of the most iconic franchises in the league. And so, I mean, to me, what do I care? Put the guy in there.
I
guess that's kind of the way I think of it.
He's got four rings.
And that seems like a big deal.
That's kind of a big deal. I mean, it's a huge deal. Last thing here for you that affects the Raiders. Fred Rogan down south, big-time news reporter for sports and all that good stuff. He talked about the San Diego Chargers and their relocation.
The agreement is signed now for the Chargers to relocate. The paperwork is signed. The documents have been drawn up. So that's done now. That's done.
Well, according to him, San Diego will play in Los Angeles next season. They'll join the Rams. So that narrows down that gap for the Raiders. It's shaping up to be Oakland and Las Vegas. And word is, the owners, not really happy about either. They think that the Raiders are simply, the city council's just trying to cover their ass, and that proposal isn't really worth the paper it's written on. And they don't like the Vegas idea. So, interesting.
Didn't that guy kind of sound like the Elwood's House of Blues
little
on
bit,
Sunday nights?
A little bit. We'll take a break. Darren Collison, when we get back, and just before Darren Collison, why the Maloofs are failing in sports again. We'll tell you what they failed at most recently right here on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. 8:32, time to go to RC Country Hobbies on Folsom Boulevard. Not just toys for big boys, it's for everyone in the entire family. Darren Collison joining us in just a couple of seconds. Want to let you know the Maloofs, they're back in sports ownership. As you know, the NHL's 31st franchise awarded to Vegas, but it's hit a snag just weeks after revealing its new team name and logo. The Golden Knights. On Wednesday, the team's application to trademark that name was turned down by the patent office, because it was similar between Vegas and the College of St. Rose Golden Knights. Grounds for denial. So that logo going away. Hey.
They had to have a number two choice, right?
I would hope so.
You would hope so.
Maybe it's the Glittery Knights.
And it's something that they could have thought about before they.
You think?
Yeah, you'd think.
It's very rare those things get turned down, because usually you have, a research team that goes into that.
Yeah,
so
well.
So you kind of know what you're dealing with.
Zing. Vodka.
Are they going to have Todd Bowles coaching this team, too, and just, like, forgetting to share important information with?
That's exactly what it is. Oh, poor Bowles.
I had a lot of stuff on my mind. Yeah, man.
Well, we got to get to this now because Darren Collison, obviously, everyone knows he joins us each and every week here on The Drive. Got the Knicks coming up tonight after a long road trip. Darren, isn't it nice to be home?
Yeah, I know. That sucks, but... You know, I'll take it because I didn't even know what my home looked like at first.
That's what I'm saying. We're looking at the schedule. I think you have 4 home games in December. You go right back out on the road after tonight's game versus the Knicks. Then you're back for a game, gone for a game. And then you guys go on that, like, 7-game trip next month. And I think they're going to add that Philly game, making it an 8-game trip. Doesn't it seem like you've had just a ton of road games so far?
It does. Yeah, but I know at some point during the season we should have a lot of homestands, you know, because we've been having a lot of road games early on in the season. So it'll even itself out. It's not good right now, but, you know, it's good once we get them out the way early. And then towards the end of the season, it should come in our favor.
Darren, I want to go back to that win against Dallas because, you know, you guys are kind of scratching your claw on your way towards 500, and there's been ups and downs. But all of the wins – for the most part, it seems like you guys have just really had to work hard for him. Whereas last night, again, it's the NBA, so you got to work hard. But a pretty convincing win, and really you had it in control most of the time. You know, how good did it feel to just kind of get one of those off your chest and be like, hey, we came in here, we took care of business, now let's go home?
Yeah, I think every now and then you need wins like that. You know, you look at some of the games before the Dallas game, you know, we've been right there in the game, ball game, and, you know, we just wasn't able to pull it out. But, you know, when you have a win like that at Dallas against, you know, a good team, a good organization, and they're known to play well at home, and you play like that, it feels good every once in a while to have that type of feeling.
Now, at the professional level, as Darren Collison joins us on KHTK, have you ever seen anything like what Rick Carlisle did? Just, you know what, I've had it. I'm going to tell these guys what I think, and I don't care if I don't have any timeouts. I'm going to eat the technical fouls.
Yeah, I played for Rick. I've been there before. You know, when things are not going well, I know what type of coach he can be, you know, type of motivator he can be. But, you know, I was just glad I was on the other side from
Darren, I don't want to nitpick a 31-point win, but one of the problems with the Kings has been slow starts. The players have said it. Coach has said it. Now, you guys, again, you won by 31, but at the half – you guys were up by 4. I feel like that's a really slow start, being that you made up another 27 points in the second half. Is that how you guys felt in the first half, that, yeah, you had a lead, but it was nowhere near the lead it should have been?
Wow. I didn't even notice, to be honest. I do hate the fact that, you know, we get off to slow starts, and it's a combination of things while we do get off to slow starts. And I think over time, you know, those things will be fixed and, you know, be, you know, addressed. As of right now, I think, you know, the guys that are in that first unit, the one thing that we can't control is going out there and playing hard, playing like, you know, we're going to always be the team, you know, to not be favored to win games. You know, if you had that mentality, I think that self-urgency, I think everybody would be, you know, satisfied how they play that first five, 10 minutes. You look at some of the best teams, the start is so important to a ball game. You know, whether you're at home or on the road, the start is very important. So everybody just has to find it within themselves to have that self-urgency to get off to a good start.
Yeah, I mean, and there's only so many things that, say, coaches can do or whatever. How much of it, I wonder, is a mental game, Darren. I mean, you know, even the best teams, it's hard for them to string together 48 straight minutes of great basketball. Lulls come, but what you really don't want is to have it happen at the very beginning of the game. So how much of that is a mental battle?
Some mental, you know, some, you know, I think everybody is a part of the piece. You know what I mean? It's not just the players. It's not just the coaches. It's everybody. I mean, you know, you have to be able to play good basketball consistently for 48 minutes, you know what I mean? If, you know, you want to be one of the teams in the playoffs, and the first 5-10 minutes of the game, you have to understand, okay, what are you trying to do as a group, you know, in order to get a good start? You know you can get your own shot, but how is the spacing going to help your next teammate? Are you going to get your other teammate involved into the game to get him a good rhythm. You know, are you going to be in the right spot defensively, you know, to stop the first two, three plays? So it's a lot of different things. You know, everybody's a part of the pie. You know, we've been having this issue, you know, for, you know, some time, not just this year, but previously too.
Darren Collison joining us on KHTK. Hey, I know you're always very, very respectful of your colleagues, both on your team and off the team. I'm just going to say, as a fan of the team watching the game last night, I don't think anybody could guard you. And I wonder if you ever go on the floor and figure out real quick and kind of smile to yourself and go, there is nobody here that can stay with my quickness tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I think my quickness is an attribute that, you know, it's been helping me be successful in the NBA, you know. Regardless of the role that I'm playing, you know, it's tough. You know, you got to pick and choose, you know, because, you know, you have a guy like DeMarcus Cousins, you know, that you got to continue to look and feed him and get him going. And you have Rudy Gay, that's a real good scorer too as well. And then you have other players around him that you want to make sure that they're confident enough, you know, to sustain throughout the game. So, you know, you got to kind of pick and choose if you need. And a lot of times you have to be aggressive for them to be better too as well.
Darren, you look ahead to tonight's game against the Knicks, a team you guys have played recently and didn't fare very well against. What can you guys take away from that loss at the Garden and apply tonight?
We didn't play our best basketball at all. You know what I mean? You know, towards the end, you know, we started picking it up and, you know, we made a little run, but we know, you know, we can be better than when we played against the Knicks. And I think having a win against Dallas and letting it carry over and having the fans behind us, I think it should help us.
Darren, how frustrating is Ben McLemore? And I want to explain what I mean. I hear from players and coaches constantly that Ben McLemore's skill level is through the roof. The things that he does in practice are amazing. He's a good kid, and he's a hard worker. And for some reason, and we're all pulling for him since he's been in the league, he is so streaky. He got the start last night. You worry about his confidence. What is it that you can do as a teammate? And again, I'll go back to my original question. You know, I know you're pulling for him, so it's got to be frustrating for you, too, to not have him carry it over.
Yeah, you know, Ben is off the record. You know, he's one of my favorite teammates to play with. Unbelievable personality. Even when he wasn't playing, I've never seen him complain, not one time. And I've been around this league for a while, and I've been around players that haven't played, and all you hear is him complaining how they should play. He didn't complain not one time. He was on the bench. He sat next to the coaches. And he was there for his teammates. And you're right, he does have all the potential in the world for some of the stuff that he does in practice. But I think when you don't have consistency, you know, within the organization, and I think Vlade and Vivek are trying to do a better job of giving us consistency, you know, from the coaching staff, it's tough for a player like that to grow, you know what I mean? So I don't want to put it just on Ben, but Ben needs consistency. He needs to, you know, a coach that he can grow up with, groomed, and have that confidence too. And, you know, it's not easy playing next to, you know, three really good players like myself, Rudy, and Cuz, and to try to find his way too. So I want to just put this all on Ben too. I think Ben is in a unique situation. You know, not many young players have been in the situation that he's been in, where you have so many different coaches, you know, in the organization, and try to get better. So I think he's going to benefit on the day. You know, he just be patient and he has more consistency.
You know, another guy that struggled with consistency as a younger player too, Darren, has been Willie Cauley-Stein over the last couple of games. You know, he's kind of picked it up a little bit, and I heard an inkling with G-Man last night of him saying something to the effect of early in the season, there's a little bit of paralysis by analysis. He's trying to do too much, whereas lately he's just kind of been reacting a little more and letting his instincts take over. And less about Willie, because I think that's shown itself on the court. But coming in with a new system and a new coach and all of that, do you think that that was a problem that was unique to Willie?
Yeah, it is. You know, it's kind of like being at a job and you have 3-4 different bosses, and each boss is just telling you different things. And, you know, one of the things about, you know, somebody that's above you, you know, not only they're going to tell you different things, but they got to get to know you, and it takes time to get to know you. So him coming into the organization and being under George and having to witness all that and all the experiences that he witnessed last year, then coming to Dave and Dave is telling him something else, you know what I mean? For a young player, that's very hard, you know what I mean? They need to have everything simplified. So they need to have consistency when it comes to authority. Okay, this is what you need to do. This is what I want from you. And that's what Dave is trying to do, you know what I mean? If, you know, God forbid we get another coach and he's telling something different, it's going to be hard for somebody to grow. So Willie and Ben, you know, these are players that could be really good down the road. I think with consistency is going to help them out even more.
Darren Collison joining us on KHCK. Last thing for you, Darren, I know you got to get to this meeting. I'm going to try to phrase this very carefully. There was obviously, we don't know what, something happened in New York last weekend with a couple of your teammates. I don't want to ask you about that specifically, but as an NBA player on the road, as fans, I think a lot of us, we'll look at players and go, why are you at a nightclub after midnight? And then from a player point of view, it's, I'm young, I got millions of dollars in the bank. As long as I show up to work, I have every right to do what I want to do. How do you personally, as a professional, kind of balance those two?
Yeah, I mean, I think I can understand fans' frustration. You know what I mean? It's a thin line. You know, you don't want to keep putting, you know, the organization in tough situations every single night, you know, with these things. And, you know, look, I think a lot of people don't understand that, you know, our normal day is we go from probably from 9 to 12, you know, that's shoot around and film. And then we get a little nap in between, and then we head to the gym. And from 5 to 10:30, it's either the game preparation or getting ready to head back home on the bus. So we really don't have time to ourselves throughout the day. Even when, you know, we're having our downtime, we still exhaust ourselves mentally thinking about what we have to do for the game to perform of thousands and thousands of people. So we really don't have no time to ourselves the way we want to. So that night time is a time where we can, like, kind of relax. You know, some go to the movies or some watch movies at the hotel. And then, you know, a lot of times some guys go out and just try to enjoy themselves, because you have to be able to enjoy yourself. You can't just consume yourself with basketball. And, you know, you don't want to put yourself in tough situations, but, you know, you try to find a balance where you can, you know, try to have a little fun and then go back to your work.
Always appreciate it, Darren. Good luck tonight versus the Knicks. Get that home win and then pack those bags again for another short trip, my man.
Oh, no worries. Always a pleasure having me, guys. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Darren.
Thank you. That's Darren Collison joining us. We'll be right back right here on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHTK. 8:50, time to go to RC Country Hobbies on Folsom Boulevard, not just for toys and big boys. It's for everybody in the entire family. Dave, Katie, and Nate, final segment of the weekend. Don't forget Kings, Knicks tonight. You'll see the lovely Katie Christensen on the sidelines with a brand new short hair doing her sideline reporting.
Oh, I've had my brand new short hair for a couple games now.
Yeah, all right.
Hey, Sporty Spice over there.
Just a quick note, in case you didn't think I was psycho enough, yesterday on Facebook, a listener to the show was messaging me about a hot take I had earlier in the week, and he was really, 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 really upset about it and going back and forth. One of those, I've been listening to you forever. You let me down. I lost all respect for you. Screw you. Just all kinds of stuff.
Somebody did that to you yesterday?
This was yesterday. So I got...
I always miss the good days.
No. This was on Facebook. This was a Facebook messenger, private messages, right? So for the first time ever, I used the... I used the Facebook phone app, and I said, hey, just call me on this thing. And so I talked to him for an hour and 15 minutes.
You did?
Middle of the afternoon. I was in my backyard arguing with this guy for an hour and 15 minutes.
Why? What'd you do?
What I do, huh? No. I'm just saying we went back and forth.
Yeah, in regards to what take?
I forget. It was some whatever the hell.
You forget?
Thing. Yeah. It was just, well,
not going to get into it.
I don't want to rehash it because we've got 4 minutes left. But it was a thing, and we went at it. But, hey, you know what? It got really contentious. I'm happy to report we parted as friends.
Nice.
We parted as friends. And we will split some popcorn
boys,
at the next Kings game.
Camp on Awana. Yeah, we hold you in our hearts. Time.
See, exactly. By the way, according to Matt George, his advice for the week, go see that new movie, Mona.
Moana.
One of the new theaters. Here's Dave Yeager with Grant and Doug after the last loss to the Knicks. And I should probably, no, I'm unmuted. There you go.
True.
Dave Yeager with Grant. Easy question, sports radio cookie cutter question, but Katie Christensen, the Kings beat the Knicks tonight, which they didn't do, you know, like 3 hours ago, it seems. They beat the Knicks tonight if they do what, most importantly?
Well, making shots is going to make a big difference. Hey. I mean, part of that was that first half, they shot like 28% as a team. They missed layups, chippies. I mean, they could not make a shot as a team. And sometimes you're going to have that with players where there's going to be one or two players that are just having an off night. But that team was a completely different team. They came out in the second half and got back into that game, which we've seen them do before. But really, to me, the New York is a very good team. They're very talented and long and athletic. Carmelo Anthony and Kristaps Porzingis, they've led the team in scoring like every single game. Derrick Rose, I don't know. He didn't play in the last game. I don't know what his status is for tonight. But for me, it comes down to being able to defend them and use their defense to get some early buckets, you know, kind of early in the game so that you can get your offense going in an easy way. Don't come out here and think that, you know, you're going to kind of kick it off with three-point shots. That's not the way to go.
Same exact question, Nate Goodyear, go.
Stop with the slow starts. They have to stop that.
Yeah.
I mean, Katie was right. Like, it's so simplistic, just make more shots. But, I mean, it really kind of is that.
Got to get your defense to do that for you at the beginning of a game.
Exactly. Get easy buckets by playing good defense. Do little things like that. Force the Knicks to, I don't know, defend you, for crying out loud.
Giannis Antetokounmpo has added another triple-double to his repertoire, mm-hmm. and he's having a phenomenal year. I've actually always wondered this, and I wanted to talk to somebody in the broadcast business. Do you secretly or subconsciously root against him being good so that you don't have to say his name that much?
No.
No?
No.
I mean, I feel like
it would go the other way.
You think, like, you want to say his name?
Now, you might want to ask, like, Grant and Jerry that question.
Scott
because
Moak
they
or...
say it throughout the course of a game way more than I have to.
Yeah.
There's also a thing with repetition. I mean, there's plenty of examples of guys in the league that when you first saw their name, you're like, huh?
Name that you're more likely to screw up on your sideline reports, Giannis Antetokounmpo or Russell Westbrook? Is there one in particular, though, that you can think of that just screws you?
Just makes you go,
no,
damn it.
The Russell. Russell Westbrook is the one that I have to really think about.
Sure.
Because it's just a tongue twister.
Yes.
If you know how to say.
That's why you just get tight with them and you just call him Russ.
Russie. Some guys have started calling him Russie Westbrook.
Russ.
Does he have a nickname? It's just Russ, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, Russ.
He feels like he needs a nickname. Oh. So you don't have to do Wessel Respa. last thing for you guys. We said, and we'll talk about this more on Monday because we're going to know a little bit more about this team, at least two games more about this team on Monday. Didn't we all kind of agree, and I know Grant said this before, that it takes about 20 games into the season to figure out what kind of team you have? They're 21 games into the season. Have we figured out what kind of team they have?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've got an ordinary run-of-the-mill, slightly below average NBA team.
Yeah. Katie, have you figured them out yet?
Heck no, I haven't.
No.
I haven't figured them out. I think that they're...
They've got the same team that 20 teams have every year.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I see what you're saying, Nate. I haven't figured them out. I don't even think that Dave Yeager has figured them out necessarily yet because... It just in terms of the different starting lineups we've seen, the different rotations, and that's fine. That's okay because I think this team is going to look different come February as well. One of the things about being a great team versus being a mediocre team, great teams use the same lineup and rotations all the time because they make people want to beat them playing their game. When you're a mediocre team, you have to try and match up the best you can. I think that's what's going on right now.
Kings and Knicks tonight, 7:30. That was Katie Christensen. Check her out on the sidelines, of course, with the audio turned down. No offense to Grant and Jerry, but listen to it right here on Sports 1140 KHDK. The sweet, lovely sounds of the G-Man, Gary Gerald, through your speakers. For Matt George, Kevin Sheritz, our executive producer, Nate Goodyear, the resident beard, Katie Christensen, the ponytail, and I'm Carmichael Dave. Have a safe weekend, everybody. We'll see you Monday. Go Kings, right here on Sports 1140 KHDK.